you are looking for a church that is committed to expositionally preaching the Word of God, we invite you to join us at the Escondido United Reformed Church for worship on Sundays. Our worship service times are 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. You can visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Hello, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio. Always thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. You can go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. Many resources there for you. And of course, we think it to be a great privilege to have the opportunity to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you here in the San Diego area. We have aired Abounding Grace in the Pacific Northwest for years, so many of our listeners up there have heard Abounding Grace, and now we have the opportunity to bring it down to the South to you. So we do love hearing from you. We would love to receive any prayerful and financial support. So do please write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. That's L-Y-N-D-E-N, Linden, Washington, 98264. agradio.org is the website. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're going to consider Psalm 16, a wonderful psalm giving us a proper perspective in life and in death, especially in the times in which we live, in which there is so much uncertainty, so much chaos, so much tribulation. How are we to make sense of everything as Christians? Psalm 16 helps that. Let me begin with this today. Right now, I'm a healthy and vigorous 35-year-old. My body really still is my slave. I'm noticing, however, that things are changing. My body is slowly becoming to what I would consider the period of being an advisor. Energy levels are less. I get sore off things I never would have faced before. I feel terrible at times, and more, I already feel certain limitations are growing. The thing, of course, that I dread the most is when my body will become a tyrant. Then what? The fact is, we all enter this life and a slow process of decreation is working within us until dust you were taken, to dust you shall return. I raised this morning because my health really is one of my greatest securities. When that's taken, I can assure you I won't be as worried about who is president and what's going on and the dangers that we face. The greatest thing will have been attacked. The reality is, dear listener, is that the scriptures have told us our greatest security of our health, even this, will be taken from us at some point. The body is dying. We can't stop it. No matter how much we try to prevent that from happening, the reality is, from dust you were taken, to dust you shall return. Psalm 16 gives us a perspective through all of this like no other. It really does provide for us an answer. It's a psalm that provides us perspective and strength, showing us where our greatest security is when every kind of earthly security is taken away. And what a psalm for us in a time when nothing seems certain. Here's what we read in verse 1. Preserve me, O Lord, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. What's going on? Some think that the psalmist was in some kind of great distress. That surely could have been. But as I've been working through this, I believe this is much more common than we think to everyday experience. David obviously had been facing some kind of depression. Surely in Psalm 13, he described this, and he had cried out because he felt like God had departed from him. He said, I am weary of looking inward. Now, it wasn't true that God had abandoned. God had made this promise that he will never leave his own. But because of the depression, David didn't see it. So he prayed that God would give light to his eyes, and by the end of that psalm, his joy was returned to him, not because his circumstances had changed, but because of God's steadfast love that could never be taken from him. The whole perspective here of change is beautiful, isn't it? When we are in the dark and we do not see, and the Lord gives light to our eyes and he encourages us and strengthens us so that we have perspective. That light had so brightened up David's life that by the time he came to Psalm 16, which I see a sort of continual pattern here in growth in what he's saying, Psalm 16, what we have is David asking God just to keep him in what he has learned and what he has seen. So here's what he's asking. Here is his cry. I'm asking you that you would preserve me, O Lord, that you would protect me in what I've come to understand about you. I've come to see something. Your light has brightened my eyes. But I need you to preserve me in what I've come to understand. Now, you know this struggle. My greatest frustration about the Christian life is that I don't hold on to things very well. You ever notice how when our circumstances are good, it's easy to worship, it's easy to see the blessing of the Lord, and it doesn't take long. Some tragedy, some hardship, some suffering, some awful attack, some earthly tragedy, and all is lost. All perspective is gone. John Flavel used to say this about the ministry. He said the average worker, whenever he stops his work that evening, he comes back the next day to the work where he left off. Nothing changes. He picks up where he left off. Not in the Christian ministry. Every week, the pastor comes back, and he finds that whatever he said the previous Sunday was completely unraveled by the devil in the lives of the people, so he has to start all over again. You know this about the Christian life. Up and down, up and down. And what happens in the downs? Well, we're searching for answers, aren't we? We're searching to try to satisfy and fix our problems. Here, David had come out and has a fresh understanding of things. But what did he understand? What did he see? He says it in verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Now, a close reader will realize that in two verses, he just used three. This is an amazing thing. He just used three different names of God. The first is the general name for God, which means strong one. And then he uses the holy name in the burning bush, I am that I am. And then he concludes with Adonai, which means master. So the prayer goes like this. O powerful one, preserve me. You are the Lord, the one who does not change. I have told you, O my master, I have no good apart from you. What David just said was, you are the greatest treasure of my life. I have nothing else. I see it. Nothing means as much to me in this life as you, O Lord. The psalmists were constantly saying this, of course. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. This is an amazing thing. It's not merely an emotional response, is it? It's a knowledge of who God is, what he has been like to us that drove David in this cry. Think about what the true reality is of what God has been like. I don't think you see it stronger than in any place better than the woman at the well. Jesus had, of course, come to this woman. He had to go through Samaria. He stops and he sits upon Jacob's well. He says to her, woman, give me a drink. She, of course, can't get over that a Jew would say this to a Samaritan. But remember what Jesus said. If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living waters. And then he expands on this in verse 13. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. What was so amazing about that passage was that Jesus knew this woman. He knew her whole life. He knew what was in her heart. He knew all the hidden stuff going on there. In fact, the woman was a serial divorcee. She had five husbands, and the one she had now was not her husband. She just keeps going on and on and on, trying to find satisfaction with men. And Jesus comes to her. Her life is a mess, and he says, I'm offering you living water. This water that I give you, you'll never thirst again when you drink it. It will be like a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. At the bottom of these wells was a spring, but these wells were really about 100 feet deep. At the top, it was totally stagnant. You ever seen a swamp? Mossy and gross. You wouldn't swim in it. Living water was the water that was always flowing. It was a river or stream that was pure. Jesus was saying to this woman, the water that I give is not like this well that just sits here. It's like a spring. This water shoots up and shoots up like a geyser. Nothing can stop it. It springs up to everlasting life. Now, Jesus just said, if you knew me, you would have asked, and I would fill your heart with water that is like that. It's always moving. It's always shooting up. It's always satisfying you like a geyser that has never stopped. What did the Old Testament say about the Lord? The Old Testament constantly stated that the Lord himself is a fountain of life. Now, I rehearsed that today to say this is Psalm 16. David is asking, preserve me, O Lord. You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have nothing. See, here's the reality of our lives. We are constantly craving something that will satisfy. And we're on this never-ending pursuit to have something fill us. And so we're constantly in search for something that will satisfy us, some fulfillment, some security, some kind of help. I don't know if you've observed it, but every kind of earthly security today is being attacked. Have you thought about it? Financial collapse, it seems like, is about ready to happen. Insurance nightmare. Military becoming impotent. Immoral leadership. No one thought possible a storm to attack the center of American pride, New York. See the devastation of that? Where does $50 billion come to fix this? The Islam problem. A rising healthcare nightmare for us. Social security, all of this about done. We've had the best securities the world has ever known. Have you seen it all? Just like going down and checking box after box after box, all of these securities are being attacked. And here we are. We're always on the move. We're always wanting the next thing, the new thing that'll be the answer for us, to bring us happiness, the new start I need. And it's a never-ending saga of heartache and tragedy that will have a terrible end, seeking but not finding. Now here's Psalm 16, dear listener. Here's what moved David. He is saying, I have found it. I know what you have been like to me. My whole life, you have been the strong one. You have been my master. You have not changed. And the reality is, my goodness is nothing apart from you. But I see that you are my refuge. You are my Lord. Keep me in this. I have tasted and seen that you are the good of my life. Preserve me in what I see today. We need that, don't we? Notice how this occurs in verse 5. He begins to rehearse all of these present blessings that the Lord has given. Verse 5, here's what the Lord is to me. And he uses three metaphors to describe the Lord. He is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a good inheritance. We tend to read this and think, the Lord has given us so many good things. Certainly he has, but that's not what the psalm is describing. You know what makes the psalm powerful? David is using the language of land allotments to the tribes, portions and lines. Remember, each tribe had a good portion. David knew that there was something that these things represented. Remember what the Lord said to the priests? You shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any part among them. We think, well, that's the bad end of the deal. But then we forget what the Lord said. The Lord said, I am your part in your inheritance among the children of Israel. There is nothing more wonderful in life and in death that the Lord would declare that. To possess something means that it's mine. I have an intimate knowledge of it. My affections, my love, my desire, everything is tied to that because it is mine. What do I really have in this life that is mine? Let me ask that, dear listener. What do you really have in this life that is yours? At the end of the day, naked you came in and naked you're going out with absolutely nothing. Now, did you hear what Psalm 16 just said? Wonderful psalm. David just said, the Lord, He is my portion and my cup. That means He is the nourishment of my soul. My cup, Psalm 23, runs over. Everything David is describing here are metaphors to describe the Lord. What's the first thing we do in prayer? Oh, Lord, grant us this, provide this, heal this person. I've never heard a prayer yet that begins with, Lord, I praise you because I have everything in you. You know what Calvin said in this connection? I love what John Calvin said. Just consider what he said. God is mine in respect of property and enjoyment. You believe he just said that? When you see that Jesus has given himself to you this way as a believer, that you belong to him, this changes everything. God said, I am your God, not the God, but your God, and you are my people. So David's prayer becomes this: preserve me in holding on to this perspective because my shallow life is often turned upside down by giant waves. You know, it's an interesting time in which we live. Christians have struggled to understand and to know what to think about all of the turmoil and chaos and challenge of godless leaders in our day. What do we do? How do we think through this? And we think if we have the right leader in, then everything will be great and we'll get back what our founding documents say. What is it? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If a candidate, if a leader can restore to us the American dream and the pursuit of happiness, let me ask this. Do you think we really seek the Lord when everything is prosperous and good? Don't you think we confuse two different kingdoms? I love what this psalm says. If you have the Lord, you have everything. And so the psalm rehearses for us how protected and secure we are in the present and in the future. Listen to verse 7. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Did you hear what he just said? No matter what happens in this sad world, no matter if everything falls apart, this is Psalm 46. God is my refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, if the mountains be hurled into the midst of the sea, if the waters roar with their foam, we will not fear. If World War III breaks out tomorrow, if half of California falls in the ocean, if a storm comes that wipes away the eastern seaboard, nothing can touch me because I have God as my portion. And he never leaves me alone in this. That, dear listener, is the life of faith. It's rarely seen today. Everyone is so gripped by fear. In fact, whenever I'm overwhelmed by things that are happening, in the night, I can't even sleep, he has just said, he'll be with me. He'll teach my inmost thoughts. My kidneys is the word. Because I have the Lord, no matter the circumstance, I will not be shaken. God is always present with us, so we are totally secure. Isn't this just the message for the time in which we live? It's my contention, dear listener, that Christians today are so full of fear and worry and stress because often our hearts are desiring earthly things and earthly agendas when the Lord is calling us to see we have Him. He is our King. He is our God. He is our leader. He is never voted out of office. He never fails in His goodness. He always cares for his own. Now, what if the psalm ended at this point? Well, we would be pretty comforted. Wonderful psalm. But now it goes even over the top. What's the greatest threat to your security? The greatest worry that we have? What is the greatest thing that we fear might break this bond between us and the Lord? As a Christian, you know what it is? It's death. And the psalm ends with this issue, that God even cares for our bodies. Listen to verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Did you hear what David just prayed? My future is absolutely secure. Death will never have dominion over me. God cannot and he will not let death separate me from his love. It's Romans 8. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. Death, where is your sting? Can we have that kind of confidence? The answer is yes. The psalm began with a cry of David asking God to preserve him. And you know what Peter did with this text at the first sermon at Pentecost? He preaches it. Preach Psalm 16 of all psalms. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on the throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. You see, this psalm, Jesus fulfilled, so that since his body saw no corruption, he was raised victorious. We can live in sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Nothing can prevent that. Now, what a perspective as we go forward. The psalm ends that God has made known to us the path of life. There's fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. We have no idea of the glories that wait for us. But one thing I want to close with today. This psalm makes a division, dear listener. There are two kinds of people in this life. Verse 3 says, there are those who are living for their own gods, and they'll never satisfy them. They are worshiping other gods. They are not worshiping the true God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I have bad news for these people. This kind of joy, this kind of peace you'll never know. Your sorrows will be multiplied if you go after another God, and then you will experience his wrath eternally. But those who come to Jesus, those who believe in him as the only way, truth, and life, those who understand that he is the God who satisfies, that he is the one who gives his life that we might live, all who come to him have Jesus Christ as their portion and their delight forever. He will satisfy your life. Christ says, I have living water for you. You're not of this world. You don't belong here. I think today, dear listener, our agendas are too earthly as Christians. Our hopes have too long been put in men. Imagine the witness we can have in a time like this to be joyfully filled, living by faith, in confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ before a sad world that is in misery and is going to be judged. We have hope and certainty that cannot be taken from us. Christ himself, Jesus himself, is the strength of our heart and our portion forever. So what do we have to fear? Do you believe this today? Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy your life. You're going to be immensely restless until you come to him. You're going to be filling your life with anything and everything else. False gods that cannot satisfy, whether it's the bottle or drugs or misery or sadness or a million idols this sad world has to offer. Jesus is the only answer. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And when we come to Him, He promises He will preserve us as we trust Him as our strength and refuge. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program. We do humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. You can write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. We hope you enjoyed the program today on Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you would like to hear more of these teachings each and every Sunday, you can join us for worship 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Our address is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. www.escondidourc.org is the website. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.